Have you been hitting the books and listening to lectures all day? It's time to relax, to unwind, and listen up. This is Brooke from Campus Chronicles, your go-to podcast for everything student life. No matter where you are in your academic journey, we have you covered. Think of us as a trusted mentor, friend, and confidant who always has your back. We'll be sharing inspiring stories, thought-provoking insights, and practical advice to help you succeed in and out of the classroom. So get ready to be inspired, enlightened, and entertained. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode. I am so excited to introduce you to this tremendously talented, wonderful human being that I have the pleasure to call my friend, Simon Cardmell. Simon, thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me, Brooke. This has been a long time coming, and we have all that really matters is we finally made it here, but I'm super excited to be here and have this time with you. Thanks so much for having me.
Simon, before we get started, let's just introduce people to who you are, what you've done. Give us kind of the Cliff Notes version, if you will, of Simon.
So 49 years old, I have a 21-year-old daughter. I have an amazing girlfriend who just gets me and hears me in all the different ways, which was something that we'll bring up a little bit later on. So for myself professionally, I started in the Canadian Army as an infantry soldier way back in 1994. I did that for a few years. And then in our system, we have a program whereby you can switch trades and get retrained. So I did that and I joined the Canadian Air Force. If you haven't figured out, I'm a Canadian. And in that program, I became what's called an aircraft structures technician, which is super, super loosely like auto body for airplanes. And then after a little while of doing different jobs and different tours and things, I was able to start getting promoted. I got into leadership positions, eventually attaining the rank of Master Warrant Officer, which is the second highest rank a non-commissioned member can achieve in the Canadian military system. And so throughout all of that, I had a bunch of different activities happen. And I also, in that time, achieved Master of Arts in Leadership degree. Eventually, I retired from the regular force, and now I'm in the primary reserves, which is a part-time job, and I'm a squadron warrant officer at 412 Squadron here in Ottawa, Ontario, which is Canada's national city. So what I do there is I am the commanding officer's advisor in all things policy, morale, welfare, understanding what's happening inside the unit. I also host a podcast called Trench Leadership, a podcast from the front, which the main goal is to help emerging leaders get some experience, advice, and inspiration from all of us who have been leading from the front, who have had those challenges, and hopefully taking some nuggets away with some practical tools to get going.
So when I think of the military at times, and I think that this is media and culture, so many of us perhaps feel that the leadership style would be very direct, perhaps even at times harsh, but you take a very different approach. In your words, what does leadership mean to you?
Leadership means to me is it's about being curious. It's about having the curiosity to ask the questions, to find out what exactly you're hearing and understanding, what the people are saying to you, and then having the capacity and the courage to actively listen to what's being said, even if you don't agree. If I can touch on a point you talked about earlier about the harshness of leadership, when I got in way back in 1994, that very much was the thing. It was about do what I'm told, very directive, do what I'm told to do without question at any point in time. That has changed. Fortunately, inside our military, things have changed, and the U.S. military is very similar.
In your introduction, you mentioned the word welfare, which I find so interesting because I love the word welfare. And I think it's so important because it's the concept of looking after the whole person. So in your role, taking care of things like morale and welfare, what does that look like for you? I'm very curious. I'm going to use your word curious.
Oh, no, thank you so much for that. And so it changes in every situation, in every time I'm talking to someone. And a lot of times it's about asking the questions. It's about understanding the whole picture before we start running. One of the things that I really picked up on over the years, and it took me a while to learn, and it was from experience of making mistakes, and from watching other leaders that I perceived that I wanted to be like, was taking the time to really get to know all of the information as much as you can before you run with something. And also making sure that what we're doing is what the person wants to have happen. So a lot of times it's like, oh, this is, we're experiencing this challenge. This is the thing we're going to go do because this is what we think that member is going to want to see happen. When afterwards that everything gets done, come to find out that that wasn't exactly the case, the person would have preferred another course of action. If only we had taken a moment to ask the question, what does success look like for you? How do you want to be involved in this? What do you want to do? How do we want to do that? And when we take that information and we know then without a doubt that we are acting truly in the best interest of the member from their perspective, not just what we think and what, how we think things should proceed.
You know, it's incredibly insightful because we always want to assume that we know best, right? But in so many cases, that's not always the case. And I know for our viewership who are young leaders and looking to really grow their leadership capacity and their leadership skills, where did the initial interest in leadership come from? Because you have a whole Master's of Arts in it. So we know that you have an interest in leadership, but where did it start? And how did you cultivate and grow it over time?
I don't know that I can tell you when my interest in leadership started. I can tell you that throughout my military career, I've been very fortunate to have had very strong leaders, people that I looked up to and said, wow, I sure hope that I am able at some point in my career to get to a point where I can make an influence like that person is making on me. That I would say is where maybe my first interest in leadership came about. But if we're talking about formal leadership and how to drive with that, I would say that happened later on in my career when I was also very fortunate to come across a string of leaders that were not so strong for various reasons. And I kept saying to myself, gee, I sure hope I'm not like those people when I get to those positions of authority. So I took the two different variations of people and I went forward with that. Eventually along the way, I ran across who is now a good friend of mine. And he was telling me about this Master of Arts in Leadership degree. And what was really amazing was I had joined the military when I was 19 years old. Flash forward 24 years. And you know how it is when you have a career that long, you tend to hang around the same type of people. They're all in the military or they're all in whatever your professional career path is. So you tend to be kind of siloed inside that group. And so when I went and started the master's degree, it was not at a military establishment. And inside the cohort, it happened to be of the 36 people in the group, I was the only person in the military. And so all of a sudden, not only am I doing this higher education, but I'm also not surrounded by my security blanket of other military people who are talking the same way as me, thinking the same way as I generally did, and have the same types of experiences. All of a sudden, I'm surrounded by people in the public sector, in the private sector, education, and all these in health services, all these different areas. And not only did I find surprisingly to myself that I was capable of interacting with these people, I was also able to actually contribute to the conversation. And what I saw from that was leadership isn't just about being in the military. Leadership isn't just about being in the health services. Leadership isn't just about being in education. Leadership is leadership is leadership. Asking questions, being curious, building community, actively listening is the same no matter where and who we are.
So you said you joined the military when you were 19. And I know in my perspective, I've changed a lot since I was 19. How does your perception of leadership, how has it evolved since you were 19 to now?
Oh, it has drastically changed. When I first got in, I was in the infantry. And in the infantry, you just do what you're told, especially as a young private. And now I will say, to be fair, there's a reason why that exists. There is not a lot of time in a combat situation to have a big conversation to discuss how we're going to attack a trench. Things need to happen and need to happen right now. So again, it's about knowing when the time is right to do what you're told without question and know when to ask those questions. So I would say the biggest change that I've experienced throughout my leadership career is learning that point, when to ask questions and when to maybe do the job, get it done and move on, and then ask questions later if there's time to do that. It's a balance. That's the biggest change I've seen.
That reminds me so much of the education environment, because you're encouraged to ask questions in the education environment, but only to a certain degree. And for our viewership, who is that young adult university student, that can be hard to know when to simply listen to a professor's wisdom or a instructor's wisdom, and when to really question that, because not all wisdom is created equally.
And it's about the courage, to ask those questions. I remember when I had started the master's degree, the program was a 2-year program, and it was a blended online and residential portion, with each of the years having a 2-week residential portion. So leading up to this course, I had given myself the very best case of imposter syndrome, so much so that I actually gave myself the common cold because I was so nervous and so worked up that I just beat myself down. So we finally show up to the course. We're sitting down. We're all in our large group. This is the first time I've met all of these people in person. And I remember thinking as I was leading up to that, wow, my instructor is very good at hearing me and understanding and letting me ask questions. And I knew that I was not asking a bunch of the questions that I had perceived, that I had assumed were too dumb with finger quotations to ask. But when we got there, I put myself out there and I said, I'm going to ask what I perceive to be a pretty silly question because I feel like I should know the answer. I'm just going to see what happens. And we go from there. So we're all sitting in the group and I put my hand up and I asked the question, what clothes do we need to wear for this next 2 weeks? Because in my mind, and then also in a military course, we all wear the same clothing. And if we are allowed to wear any type of civilian clothing, then it's generally business casual. So I had assumed in this particular course that with a master's degree, I must have to wear business casual or maybe even a suit. But I put my hand up, I asked the question, and everyone kind of looked at me for a second. And then they said, well, no, you wear whatever you want. We're at school. You could wear shorts. It's totally fine. I'm like, okay, great. And then what I took out of that was the assumption that I had was that I would be ridiculed for that, because often in a military environment, I would have been ribbed about that a little bit. Was that all these questions make sense? And actually a bunch of other people then turned around and said, yeah, I was wondering if there was going to be some type of dress code as well. So the two things I took away from that experience was my assumptions are probably wrong and I need to find out and I need to realize when I'm making assumptions. And also my question is probably something that someone else is thinking about. And so someone just has to have the courage and the curiosity to put it out there. May as well be me if I'm in a leadership role.
I love your point about assumptions. I think assumptions are so challenging for so many reasons because they're easy to make. They're easy to make with a look or a tone of a voice or a facial expression. And that the slightest things can make you feel uncomfortable, especially in the environment, doing something as vulnerable as raising your hand. Because I don't know about you, but raising your hand for something feels almost as if you're putting yourself out there in a very vulnerable way.
I couldn't agree with you any more about that. The example I would love to use, and it shaped my entire life. I remember when I was in grade 3, maybe grade 4, and we were in class and the gym class was doing one of those exercises where we were running to we were in Winnipeg, Manitoba, and we were running to Disney World. And so what it was they had a little calendar, the chart, and then as we were running laps in the gym, those kilometers would add up to get us eventually virtually to Disney World. This is 1983. And in my mind, as this young 7 or 8 year old child, I thought we were actually running to Disney World. So one day we're all sitting around, we're in the big circle in the middle of the gym, like we have all done. And I put my hand, there was anyone ask, are there any questions? I put my hand up and I asked if we needed any sleeping bags, if we were going to be able, where we would stop and get food. And everyone in the, all of the kids laughed and stuff like that. And the teacher laughed too. And I remember being pretty embarrassed by that. And I remember thinking it'll be pretty rare that I'm going to ask any types of questions. And this is, you know, grade 3. That carried through well into my late 30s, that I would just not ask any questions because I was afraid of what might happen from that. Because I made assumptions that people were going to constantly ridicule me for my finger quotation, stupid questions. So it's funny how those types of things will carry through your entire life. But how do you get through it? It's about being curious about whether or not the assumptions are true and about having the courage to actually ask the questions.
Sometimes women still feel a little anxious or nervous to speak up, you know, in a leadership environment, in a question asking environment. There's so many women that deeply desire to be leaders and to run companies and grow companies, but those biases still exist. What advice would you give to a young lady or a young woman who really wants to lean into leadership?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. So coincidentally, I was going to say, when I have those types of questions, I think about what advice would I give my daughter? And 99% of the time, the advice I give her is to make sure you're heard. If someone is quieting you, and I'm imagining this conversation with my daughter right now, if someone is trying to quiet you because they're looking at you because you're just a girl, with finger quotations, and she's 21, so, and she's always gonna be my little baby, so she's always a girl to me. If someone's trying to quiet you, push back. No one, I don't care what the situation is, no one deserves to be quieted. We all have the right to have to be heard in every way.
Now, this is more of a personal question. How has having your daughter impacted your leadership style? Being a parent, it changes people.
Very much so. All of a sudden, this person, you literally have their life in your hands. And it made me reflect later on how much, while I may not have the direct impact on someone's lives in my hands in my current role, I still have an influence. And if my influence is not as good as it could have been or not as strong as it could have been, that person might take that information home and sit with it. It might affect how their weekend is going to go. It might affect how their career path is going to go forward. So it's made me realize that the influence I have as a leader is in everything that I'm doing all the time, every time. And a great example I'd like to use is that I have something, as my daughter likes to call it, she likes to call it my Garfield eyes. When I'm very much concentrating on a task or I'm really thinking about what I'm going to say, it looks like my brow is furrowed. I look like I'm really angry. And when in fact, all I'm doing is really, really concentrating on what I'm thinking about. But if someone doesn't know that about me, more often than not, they're assuming that I'm mad at them. And it makes sense. I look like I'm upset. So what I've learned to do is say, hey, listen, we're going to have a tough conversation right now. Very, very likely, this is going to be happening. What I'm going to ask is, if you see that happening, call me on it. Let me know. It doesn't mean I'm going to stop doing it, because I'm deeply involved in what we're talking about, but I want to make sure it's out there that this is what this physical sign on me means. It doesn't mean I'm angry. It means that I'm concentrating on what we're talking about. I'm present in the moment. Sometimes it means that I'm angry. It's hard to tell, but if we don't ask the question, if we're not curious, there's no way to know. So I like to put it out there.
That's really interesting to something that I do. I have a tendency to kind of beat around the bush or not say my direct point when I'm nerve-wracked. And I always ask people to bring, as I call it, loving awareness to that fact. Because if people don't, like you said, call me out on it, help me grow, I can't effectively lead to the next level. And that's a beautiful thing for our audience, is if you know something about yourself and it could be, you know, perceived wrong, or it could just be something that you want accountability on and you want support on, definitely make sure to make that heard. So I'm going to soak in your wisdom here, just like I know that our audience does. If you were to give two to three pieces of advice regarding leadership, regarding curiosity, really anything that you feel is on your heart to share, what would those 2 to 3 pieces of advice be?
Well, the obvious thing I would say would be curious, of course, but I would like to go a little bit of a different direction with that and say, how can we be curious? One of the ways is to ask questions all the time and keep asking questions till you think you've gotten all the information. The second way would be to trust your instincts. If don't think you're getting all the information, or maybe something is being withheld for whatever reason, ask the questions. But most importantly, listen actively. Active listening is a real thing. And what that is to be in the moment. Put your phone down, actually flip it over so that if the screen comes up with a notification, you can't see it. Turn your watch off. Let the person finish their point before you start formulating your own opinion in your mind. And that is much more difficult to do than it sounds. Because more often than not, we all have an opinion on whatever the conversation might be, and we're already getting ready to counterpunch whatever the topic might be. But if we take the moment to actually stay and listen to what is being said to us and consider it, the statistics have shown that 87% of the time, we will actually be more open to hearing someone else's opinion, even if we don't agree. Even if we don't agree, we're still also more open to hearing why that is. And then once you ensure the person is finished speaking, then start formulating your point and then go from there. it takes more time. I'll be completely honest. And it's difficult because more often than not, emerging leaders are the ones that are being pressed to get things done quicker, faster, cheaper. But if we're doing it properly and we're doing it effectively, that little bit of extra time will ensure that we only have to do whatever the task is one time versus a couple times because we didn't get all the information the first time around. Slow is fast.
What a beautiful phrase, emerging leaders, because it takes that pressure off to be a leader, you know, true blue, perfect today. I love the term emerging leaders.
I'd love to say that I coined it, but it's been around for a little bit of time, but I'll take the credit for it, sure.
I'm going to give you a real challenge here as we start to wrap up. Now, we know that you'd like to print Be Curious, probably on everything that you own. If you were going to give one other little bite-sized piece of advice, something actionable, small that people can hold with them, kind of a golden nugget, if you will, what would that be? It could be two words, two sentences, just something small and bite-sized.
I would say stay in the moment. It's difficult. As leaders, we want to go. We want to go ahead. We want to drive fast and hard, but stay in the moment because that's where things are happening. The future will come to us no matter what. Stay in the moment.
That was inspirational. I think we're gonna wrap it up here. Simon, if people are inspired by you and they'd like to learn more about you, perhaps take a listen to your podcast. Can you tell them where to go to connect with you?
Absolutely. So Trench Leadership, a podcast from the front, is available on all the popular podcast locations. So wherever you listen to your podcast, feel free to jump there. As well, there is trenchleadership.ca. And I'm also on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn. I do a lot of LinkedIn conversations. Feel free to reach out. I get back to people as quick as I can. It may take a couple of days. I do have a full-time job, but I will reach out and we'll connect. It'll be a lot of fun.
Thank you so much, Simon, for coming and sharing all of your great insights today on the Campus Chronicles podcast. We so appreciate it.
It's been a real pleasure to have this opportunity to speak with you, and I hope your guests get something out of this conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining me on Campus Chronicles. I hope you found our discussion informative, inspiring, entertaining, and fun. We are always working hard to make sure that our episodes are the very best they can be, which means we need your help. If you liked what you heard, remember to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast platform and drop us a review. It helps us to connect with more students who are hungry for success. And remember, the journey never stops. Keep listening, keep learning, keep growing. See you next week for another amazing episode of Campus Chronicles.